Welcome to the Rent to Retirement Podcast, your resource for passive real estate investing and retirement strategies. If you're new to real estate or planning your financial future, you're in the right place. Join us at renttoretirement.com to find your path to financial freedom and an easy, carefree retirement. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Rent to Retirees, it's Adam Schrader here with another episode, and I am joined by Rent to Retire investment strategist Corey Zigman. And we're here today to talk about some of the returns you're seeing. So, Corey, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, absolutely. Always good to get on a live call with you. I think, you know, with all of our calls, we're a little crazy family over here at Rent to Retirement. So we're always talking, but it's cool when we get to actually talk with you and discuss some of the questions that we all hear just to help you.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure. You know, I've got you in my ear all the time, every day. Talking to you, but seeing you is nice. So let's talk about the changing marketplace that we are in, although it hasn't changed a lot recently, aside from the fact that things have changed since 6 months ago and people haven't really adjusted to the environment that we're finding ourselves in and that we're probably going to find ourselves in for a while right now. So this is one of the things, and we talked about it before, back during COVID, people started seeing new builds, they started seeing rehabs, and the returns were easily double digits. You know, your new construction, 8, 10, 12%, your rehabs, 15, 16, 17%. Historically, not accurate, correct?
Not accurate at all, no. I mean, like 9 to 11% was always really good. That was pretty steady for a lot of years. And then it just started dipping down a lot. It's been changing. I'd say the past 4 years, we've definitely seen a lot of market shifts and different things happening.
Yeah. And that 9 to 11% that she was mentioning is not for new construction.
Not for new construction. that was for turnkey. Sorry.
So they are different, and people ask that a lot. They're like, oh, why are the returns better on the rehab properties instead of this? I'm like, well, you got to look at location. In a lot of cases, you're buying in a nicer location. You're also buying everything brand new as opposed to, you know, rehabs where things maybe have 10, 12, 13 years and, you know, they haven't had to actually put up the walls necessarily. So there's a lot less that goes into the rehab than the builds. And so there's a lot of things that go on there. So what are you seeing out there today, and what are you talking to investors about when it comes to dealing with the actual current returns in the market?
A lot of it is just expectations. I think there's books that are older. I think there's podcasts that are older. I think there's just some things that are not completely active and accurate today. And I think it's just actually having the conversations of these are the numbers. I mean, I love real estate. I talk with this about my, you and I have talked about this. It's because it's very black and white numbers. I mean, there's always going to be a little bit of variable, but it's just different. And it's having those conversations, especially on new construction. I mean, you and I have talked about this extensively. I mean, new construction, we're seeing maybe 1.75% to 4%, maybe 4.5% on a really good, it's new construction. And new construction, you know, you and I were talking and you can, you know, speak more to this, but it's different than having something that's been existing. And kind of like you were just saying, you know, different area, different type of tenant.
Yeah. And so what she's talking about, me talking about, is a lot of this construction that's going on that we're doing is infill lots of an area that was built out. And then one developer said, oh, I've got this other deal. I'm going to run over there. And they sell the lots to the next builder who comes in and actually finishes out the neighborhood. And so you're in an area that's been built out not too long ago, usually. And they build nice homes in the area. So it's maybe anywhere from a B+ to an A neighborhood in a lot of cases. And so that's a higher level than most of our turnkey rehabs. And people are like, well, why is it nicer? Well, to put it quite simply, homes in the B+ and A areas don't tend to get foreclosed upon, don't tend to get short sold, all of these things. So we're really looking at, you know, slightly lower neighborhoods for those. And so really what you're looking at when you go into these new constructions is you're taking a lower initial return. That's guaranteed. But what you're looking at is a higher potential for appreciation, a higher potential for rent growth, and a fair chance that your tenant might be a little gentler on your property or stay a little bit longer. Although it could be the other way, and it could be that they're they move more frequently because they can actually buy a home in the future. So that is kind of the trade-off. So Corey, in your buying, whenever you go in and you're looking, kind of how have you decided when to buy new construction and when to, you know, do a, and I know you do flipping, but, you know, how do you determine whether it's time to do new construction or whether it's time to go into the rehab space?
I typically don't buy a lot of new construction. I buy pre-construction. So I have some of our Cape Corals, as you know, and I'm developing out, you know, near you out in Austin out there. So I'm definitely, I like that pre-construction because of the speculative appreciation. I do like new construction. I have nothing against new construction. I've just found that the tenants in the areas are better in some of the older homes. So I like them a little better. But I do like, you know, speaking to what you're saying is, you know, getting that new construction, the pros of that is that speculative appreciation. Those are going to be in markets that are going to move a lot faster because people in those markets, that's what they're expecting. They're expecting like, okay, and if I do buy something, it's going to be a new construction building typically, or there's going to be growth or movement in that area, whether that's the job market growth, things like that. You know, you can have a tenant, like Adam was saying, that has a little more affordability. So when you're raising your rents on a 3 to 7% every year, whatever that, you know, looks like between you and your management team, it's going to be like, you can usually push that a little more. It's a new construction home. So you have that opportunity when Adam was saying of having that rent growth year after year. So those are all awesome things. I do buy my parents new constructions because for them, they live in Florida and that's, there is a lot of it out there and the opportunity. But like I said, for my portfolio, I stick mainly on the older homes just because everybody in those areas knows those properties. You know what I mean? And everybody in a Florida or a Texas or an Alabama or some of those areas that have that, they're expecting a nice house. And the people that are expecting that are willing to pay for that.
Yeah. And I think especially people have seen the value of new construction in Florida after the latest hurricane. I mean, you look at what happened in Cape Coral and the Fort Myers area, I think the worst I've heard from any of our investors who finished was lost a couple of shingles and maybe a section of fence blew down. Unfortunately for the people who were living in the area with older homes, a lot of those were hurt pretty bad, which is unfortunate, but there's a reason they changed code. So that's a great part about the new construction. And it's another reason building to code is a little bit more expensive than just updating things that don't require more permits. So you're going to get that lower return. But when it comes to the rehabs, like you were talking about, that, you know, 8 to 11 has been really good. The 7 to 9 has been reasonable for a long time. When it comes to what we had, though, and I know you have different thoughts, I think, on interest rates than I do for the near future. Can you talk a little bit about how that whole cash on cash situation changed during COVID?
I mean, the home prices went up, so your cash on cash is going to go down. I mean, I would expect now 6 to 8% on a turnkey at any type of renovation. I mean, even doing your own numbers, even if you're doing it yourself, I mean, that's going to be a good return right now. Where the rates are, where the prices are, that's just going to be the match. And it's speculative of where all that's going to go. You know, you say we have a difference of opinion. I mean, it's speculative if the rates are going to keep continuing to climb. They've changed, I think, like 5 times. They changed again today over the past week and a half. So about 4 to 5 times, major fluctuations in the lending space. You know, everybody's thinking, are the prices going to go down? But yeah, in the past few years, your cash on cash, you're looking at 6 to 8%. I don't know. That sounds about that's what I'm buying at. Yeah. What are you buying at?
Yeah, no, I agree with that now. I mean, we definitely saw it, you know, during COVID when you get an interest rate down at 3.5-4%, you know, you're going to get easily 12-14% usually cash on cash, but you know, you bump that rate up to 6.5% and suddenly your returns do shrink. But one of the things I don't like about people looking at pro formas and brochures is that it does only represent year one. And that is something that, you know, you look at properties, I look at properties that I've owned for years, and year one, they were 7, 8, 9%, somewhere in that range. But as I've kept track over the years, and I am a nerd who calculates my overall cash on cash monthly, I could tell you for each one, you know, I've invested a total of this in the property. I've made a total of this. And most of my properties are in the 20 to 35% cash on cash range right now over time. My new constructions, because of rent growth, have been, you know, about that same rate. Although I will fully admit that I got into these builds pre-COVID and then they were finished during COVID. So that's not going to happen again. I don't expect that to happen again with the builds that I have going on. It's going to be great if it does. But, you know, we need to adjust to the environment that we're actually living in. And regardless of if you think rates are going to spike, if you think rates are going to stay the same or drop, the reality is it is what it is. And I think I've heard you say that phrase to investors so many times is it is what it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I can only speculate where everything's going. I can only speculate where the home price is, where the interest, where the appreciation. If you're buying on appreciation, you're taking a gamble and you're going to watch it. And if you're not going to use the appreciation that you get, who cares if it appreciates? I mean, it's the truth. I mean, you can buy new construction based off of that. You're taking a lower return for that speculative appreciation. So when you get that appreciation, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to buy another house or are you just going to leave it in the house and be excited that your house is worth more? So I think that that's one thing as an investor is you have to look at is why are you buying what you're buying and where you're buying it. You know, like I said, if you're not going to use the appreciation, it doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense unless it's like, I just want a new house because I want a full no holds barred depreciation schedule that nothing's going to go wrong. But I live in California and those multi-million dollar homes that are going up real fast, 2-3 years in, things are already starting to fall apart. So that doesn't mean that it's better because it's newer.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is a great point is people don't think about debt equity much. You know, it's like, oh, I've got $100,000 of equity in my property. Okay. Right now you have $0 because it's in your home. You know, so what are you going to do with it and what can you do with it? Because, you know, it costs money to pull it out. Just remember that people as well is, you know, you have to pay the new closing costs. You have to, you know, it starts your schedule of interest payments over again, which, hey, in some cases that's great because, you know, I don't know about you, Corey, but I need tax write-offs for my cash flow. So that part doesn't hurt. But yeah, lazy equity or debt equity, whatever you want to call it, that can, you know, if you've got $40,000 in a rehab that you can pull out and $80,000 in a new construction that you don't pull out, which property is really doing you more good? I mean,
exactly.
I think that's pretty. And another thing I want to talk with people about today is the interest rate situation that we're in. And that is when you look at what's going on, you know, we're at, I don't know, you said it changed today. I haven't really checked into it, but last I was talking with a lender, it was somewhere in the 25% down. You could get 6.5, 6.75, not that tough. When it comes to actually utilizing the equity in the property, don't worry about that rate. What you really need to do is, as Corey was saying, the numbers are the numbers. Say I'm at a 4.5, 5%, whatever rate currently. When I pull money out, how much am I getting? And what's my cash flow going to be at that point? Am I still going to be positive? Because the fact of the matter is, as I've said many times, literally an interest rate determines one thing. That's it. It determines what your payment is for the month. And I believe, Corey, correct me if I'm wrong, there's more to real estate than just what your principal and interest payment is. Correct?
True.
Yeah. So you just got to run the numbers. I mean, we've got math on our side. So what have you done much refinancing during the COVID time with, I know you got a pretty significant portfolio.
I did a ton. And I took one in June at 8.5%. And even in June, it wasn't. It's just, that's what I could get it at. Cause commercial was taking a nosedive and everybody thought it was like super volatile paper. So any of my buildings, it was just a lot more expensive to take that money. But again, it was having access to the money and knowing that do the numbers make sense on paying this and having access to the money. And that's really what it is. So again, you got to know why you have access to the money. I had very specific reasons before I even started the process. Cause if you're just sitting there with the money, that doesn't make any sense, but like
my bank account.
But like, I mean, call us. Like, I mean, that's why you have us to say like, all right, you know, I have this property and it has this equity and like, what could I turn that into? And again, like you're doing when you geek out on the numbers is where it's like, okay, like as it starts progressing, as your year three, four, five, you know, compounding that $20, $30, $40 a month that you get in rent, that is a very significant increase in what you're bringing home in cash flow. So, you know, is it sexy real estate that you're getting $150, $200 a month in cash flow? Yes, because it's going to go up. Like, I mean, it's, you're looking at
that's
it.
Your four.
Yeah, you're looking at it today and you're not looking at it as the mortgage gets paid down. Sorry, as your tenant pays down your mortgage. You're not looking at it for other things. And it is a house. So yeah, there are things that are going to come up. But overall, like it's, I don't know. I just love real estate. It's just it being able to look at the numbers and being able to see where this can go and where you have the opportunity is awesome. So it doesn't necessarily matter what you pay for the money. It matters that you're having, and I did a video on this on our YouTube channel of just your cost of inaction of not taking any action. Because then you're sitting there like, man, I wish I would have bought 10 years ago. I hear it all the time. Yeah. And that could be you in 5 years.
Yeah. You could say, I wish I had bought 10 years ago, or you could say, I'm so happy I bought today. And then in 10 years, you can say, I'm so glad I bought 10 years ago. Yeah. So I couldn't agree with you more when it comes to that. So what are some of the, you know, we talk about the opportunities in turnkey, you talk about the opportunities in new construction. What are some of the things right now that you're seeing inventory wise that stand out most to you? What are you liking out there?
I mean, we've got such good teams right now that, I mean, I like in Florida, some of our like new construction, we have a couple different markets in our new construction that are awesome. Teams are really solid, just doing everything they can to take care of you. We've got some incentives. I mean, that's a today thing. I love our Midwest opportunities. I mean, you're creating a safe, clean, comfortable housing for somebody and creating an opportunity for you and your family to be taken care of. Again, that $150, $200 doesn't seem like a lot. And I'm conservative with that number of what I'm saying, because there definitely are a lot of opportunities that are different, you know, numbers than that. But you're just compounding it to where, you know, your next 5 years, 10 years is just going to look tremendously different of having that income coming in. So. Yeah.
And I want to also tell people, if you are curious about what your returns are going to be, ask us for, just come to us and say, hey, I'd like to talk with a lender about my returns once you factor in depreciation and principal pay down on the loan. And there are a couple of our lenders who will give you, they will bend your ear, to put it nicely, about how your returns actually change over time as you pay down your principal over the 30 years. And it's pretty eye-opening, I will say. At the Bigger Pockets Conference, over a few drinks, we had some interesting math thrown our way. You know, come to us and talk with us, get introduced to the lenders who are going to, you know, be the ones giving you the money, and also can educate you beyond just what we talk with y'all about. Because realistically, and I think in the video that you did with Aaron Chapman and that Zach and I talked with them about, you know, if you talk about a 3% rent increase, you know, year one, that is not a 3% return increase. That is a 15% rent, you know, increase. Or maybe if you do 25% down, only 12% over the course of the time. So, you know, it isn't, leverage is a beautiful thing. I know we have recently changed our leverage recommendation on our website, if you're listening to this in 2022, because rates right now make a lot more sense at 25% down. So this is something also to talk with us about. I mean, there are times where 20% down makes the most sense in the world. Right now is currently not really that time, because we've got a big gap between the rates you can get at 20 and the rates you can get at 25. So, you know, that is another thing to keep in mind whenever you're looking at these. But what is one thing, you know, in your time as an investor, you've been investing longer than I have. Not saying that you're older than me, just that you've been investing longer than me.
listen, slow down.
Corey is young. She looks young. She is young. But she's been investing longer than I have. I will fully admit that. And I regret it. I'm one of those people. I wish I'd been investing longer ago than I have been. What have been some things you've learned along the way that have, you know, helped you continue buying today?
Know your numbers. Know how you want to run your numbers. I mean, we've got our calculator, which is awesome. You got to know your numbers. It's a real estate, so the emotion behind it, there's no falling in love with a house. Does it matter what the street name is? Does it matter like exactly where it's at? Is it going to give you the return? Is it what you actually think it is? Because there have been times where I've been like told it's one thing and it wasn't, you know what I mean? Because I buy remote. So all of my real estate has always been remote. I think same as you. You've always bought remote too, haven't you?
Yeah, I've driven by one home. That's about it. After I bought it.
Maybe once every 5 years I'll see a home. But it's, you'd really just got to know your numbers. And if you don't, like, talk to somebody to figure out how you can run them for you. It's any investors that have ever talked to me, we always talk about, I used to run my vacancy rates at 10%. So when I was taught this business many years ago, I was always taught run my vacancy rates at 10%. My CPA is like, why are you running your vacancy rates at 10%? And I'm like, I mean, that's what I was told. And he's like, well, are you expecting your property to be vacant 1 month out of the year every year? And I'm like, no, like, that's horrible. I mean, he's like, stop running your vacancy rates at 10%. He goes, you're not running them the right way. And so, I mean, I've luckily had mentors and had, you know, teams and had systems that have helped me really get good on that. I think like the, you know, having conversations with us, that's just something that we can also help mitigate. And again, it's just being able to look at it holistically as a whole of like one property will make a difference. It will offset some of, you know, the income that you have coming in. If you have, you know, income coming in that you're trying to be like, how do I pay less taxes? How do I do things like that? Like, how do I grow? You got to start, you know, pick up the phone and have a conversation with us and see if we can help you. And yeah, it's knowing your numbers. Same as you said, putting 25% down right now, we made that decision collectively as a team. That wasn't just an arbitrary decision. It's like, we're just going to put 25% down on the pro formas now. We just had so many conversations with lenders, so many conversations with investors, and that was making sense. So that's why we did that, right or wrong. So you can still run as you need to run them. But again, trust with our expertise of doing this and helping investors every single day that we're trying to put you in a high probability of success.
Yeah, I love that you talk about the vacancy numbers because that is so true. I mean, if I had a tenant turn every year, I'd be asking my property manager, who on earth are you putting in my properties? And, you know, I need to start calling other people. It's just like when people talk to me about maintenance, like, oh, well, where are the CapEx reserves? And like, well, that's something you can add in if you're planning on holding this property longer than most people do. I mean, if you're planning on holding something 4 to 7 years, you probably don't need to set aside much for CapEx if you're buying, you know, something with like through us where everything's got 10 plus years of life left. I say, but if you're looking to hold it 15, 20, even up to 30 years, yeah, you better set aside some CapEx expenses or you're going to be sorely disappointed whenever they do come up. But you just got to look at, you know, you got to know what your plan is for getting out whenever you go in. You know, are you holding a lot of people think as well that, oh, well, I'm just going to buy this house and own it forever. Like Corey said, don't fall in love with the house.
I buy everything to keep it forever too. But sometimes people come and make an offer and I'm willing to sell that. And sometimes there's just time to exit. And it's just having people around you to have those conversations with of when it's time to exit. So,
yeah. And I always tell people a lot of times the property will tell you when it's time to get rid of it, good or bad. The property, you'll be like, you know what? I've had a good run. There's been no maintenance on this. And now these things have 2 years of life. I'm going to hand this off to an owner occupied who's not thinking about CapEx necessarily. They just love the location, they love the property. You know, that's great. Other times you say, you know what, this market isn't for me. I'm going to move to the next market. And so goodbye, these properties. I've fired markets before, Corey, as you know, happily moving into other ones because sometimes the market just, you know, you end up realizing this isn't what my investing goals are now. And so that's completely okay to shift focus. I mean, how many different avenues of real estate have you been in at this point?
I would say everything except for storage units, but my dad is in them. So proximity is power on that. But I think that's the only thing. Yeah. I mean, I've had mobile home parks, land development, new construction, multifamily, single family, syndications, private lending. Yeah. Covering the bases. So rent retirees, I have to say, I love Adam just said, like, there's a knock on the door when it's time to exit. I think you and your wife had like a, you know, recently, like a bang on the door of like, hey, it's time.
Yeah.
If you haven't shared that. Yeah, that was a good, it is. There's always that moment where it's like, okay, it's time for us to go.
Yeah. And I'm assuming you just jumped into all of those day one, right? You're like, I have this money. I'm going to syndicate multifamily, single family.
No. And I actually like never looked for any of the opportunities. I just wanted to flip houses my whole life. Never wanted to do anything else. Like that was my, and I still do. That's been like, you know, until I can't do it anymore. I will be doing that. My mom and dad, I brought my dad in the business. So we're going to be doing that until we can't do that anymore. But I thought that was all real estate was, or being an agent. I never even knew about any of the rest of these things. I didn't grow up with this kind of information. So it's been pretty awesome just being around people like you, being around like investors that we get to talk to, because, you know, some people are brand new. And some people, and where I can still learn from people that have never bought anything. And I still learn from people that have way more than I do. So I think it's really cool that we get to have an opportunity like this to talk to you guys and have you guys and, like, you know, always let us know what you want to talk about. You know, Adam and I will jump on a podcast anytime. Adam will jump on a podcast, or I'll jump on some, you know, one of these videos, and we'll talk about anything you guys want to talk about.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, Corey, thanks for joining me today. Really appreciate it. She says you want to talk to us. Well, you can talk to us at schedule a time at renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. You'll see a big button there, schedule a consultation. You should schedule a consultation. It doesn't lock you into anything. It just says, hey, I want to talk to these guys about real estate, and we'll help you figure out where to go with your investing journey to get the goals that you want for your life. Because, I mean, you know, whatever you're looking to do, we can help you out in those in that part of your journey. So we've got something for everyone. It's at renttoretirement.com. If you have any questions, if you want to tell Corey what her next video should be about, if you want to tell me what the next podcast should be about, it's podcasts@renttoretirement.com. That's podcasts@renttoretirement.com. Don't forget to leave us a review on whatever podcast platform you utilize, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.